Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, if you will. Let's go before Him in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love and appreciate You, Lord, so much this morning. Lord, every time we gather, Lord, we just can't help but feel the grace and the mercy and Your love. We feel in our hearts, Lord. Lord, that's grace in itself. Lord, we appreciate You and we love You. We ask You to have Your way in this service. Everything that's said and done be for Your glory, Your honor, as we lift Your name up this morning. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 135 in our only belief. How great Thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see Amen. Hallelujah.
Then sing
Amen. That song says it all, saints. Amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and ask Brother Amos to come if you will. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God wants to be praised. Amen. Brother.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly in my life alone, hallelujah, I can see how great you are, Lord. Lord, all you've done for me, all the many blessings, Lord, the grace and mercy of my life.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for it, Lord. I love and appreciate you. Lord, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity once more you granted to us. Lord, to gather around your precious word with our brothers and sisters, Lord, it is truly a wonderful opportunity. No place else we'd rather be, Lord. Lord, we ask that you have your preeminence in the remainder of the service, Lord. Everything that's said and done, may it be for your glory and your honor. Lord, we pray that once more you'll bless this offering. Lord, we ask that it'll be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. Commit all into your hands, Lord. We ask it in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God still moves. Amen. God still moves. God still moves. This morning, you know he can take care of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord, the one that knows our hearts inside and out. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, you know everything. Lord, we just love and appreciate you, Lord, with all our hearts. Lord, we know that you know what we need. Lord, we yield you this morning, dear God. Oh, Lord, we just love and appreciate you. Lord, our hearts go out this morning, Lord, for everything that you have for us, Lord, we want to receive. Lord, let that be our greatest desire this day, Lord, is to receive your word. And Lord, let it vindicate itself in our lives. Lord, because we still need it. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. Wake us up, Lord. Oh, God, help us. Lord, we get so blind we fall asleep. God, wake us up. Lord, the hour is getting late. Oh, God, it's a burden on my heart to do your will and only your will. Regardless what anybody thinks, what they might say, Lord, it's you and you alone. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, and your word to come down in our hearts, Lord, and fill us. Lord, give us a renewed, Lord, a renewed path and a renewed vision, Lord, of our path. Lord, let us stay on that path. Oh, God, fill our hearts this morning. Oh, don't let us get lax. Lord, don't let us let down because, Lord, we think we're doing so well. And we've been in this message for so many years. Lord, we still need you. Lord, we feel you here this morning, Lord, and we appreciate it. Lord, we just ask you to touch each and every one that's made it this morning. Lord, we ask you to meet all their needs in a mighty way. Lord, we rely on you, Lord. There's nothing we can do in ourselves. Lord, we need you. God, we ask you to meet each and every need, Lord, according to your will this morning. But Lord, may our greatest desire be revelation. Lord, let us humble ourselves, Lord. Lord, let us sit here humble. There ain't none of us that's anybody. Lord, we're humble before you tonight, this morning. Touch our hearts, Lord. Fill us. Lord, let us realize the presence we're sitting in this morning, oh God. You're the only one that can meet our needs. It ain't our brother and our sister. You're the only one that can meet our needs this morning, God. Open our eyes. Give us eye salve. Lord, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for meeting us here this morning, oh God. Lord, I feel so humble this morning. Lord, because I know I am nothing without you. Lord, may we all feel that way. Humble us down, Lord. Take us to our knees. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your Holy Spirit, oh God. Oh God. Lord, I can't do nothing without you. Oh, thank you for meeting the need in my life, Lord. Amen. Lord, we ask you to have your way in the remainder of the service. Lord, just teach us to appreciate you more now than we ever have in our lives. To respect you more now than we ever have in our lives. To honor you more than we ever have in our lives. Lord, we will give you all the glory and the praise and honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. God still moves. God still moves. Blessing this morning. Amen. Anyone got a song in their heart? Mom, we ask you to come. Amen.
In this age, people walk in utter darkness. They're blinded by the God of this world. But God promised there'd be light about the evening time, and its glorious rays are now flooding my soul. to overflowing.
Overflowing.
Why is he mindful of us? Who are we that he'd reveal his hidden secrets? We're part of him.
We're part of him.
It's God. To our hearts he's revealed the rapturing faith. Now we're watching, loving his appearing. Oh, I'm longing for that of us. Who are we that he'd reveal his hidden secrets? We're part of him.
We're part of him.
It's God.
Hidden secrets. Amen. Is that how you feel? Let's all stand. We ask our pastor to come. Let's sing that little chorus. Reach out and touch the Lord. Amen. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Let's just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, and again we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace in our lives, and so appreciative of the hour we're living in and the time and the season, and Lord, what you're doing in the heart of the bride. It's such a special time, and it's a wonderful time. It's a great moment, Lord, as we gathered here today with, again,
expectation to hear your word, Lord, not to hear a man's ideas or a man what he thinks, but Father, we've come to listen to the word, and we ask again for revelation of the word, that Father would be made alive in our hearts, because there's no way we can understand these things, Lord, by faith, unless you give it, Father. So we ask that you would reveal, and Lord, help us to be good sons and daughters, that we will yield to it, and Lord, understand what your desire is. So we pray now thy will be done, and Lord, just control our thoughts and our very actions, and Lord, everything about us to be able to bring forth your word. And control every thought and action, Lord, in each one as they sit here and listen. And may none of us, Lord, shut you off. And Lord, but open our hearts and just say, Lord, speak to my heart through your word. And we ask now that you'd have your way. And may you get all the glory and praise for everything. In your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I love him. He's so precious, so thankful, again, for his mercy and grace. Amen. As the days go by, as the little song we've sang before, it just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Knowing that one day, if the Lord doesn't come, the day will come that we'll be taken off the earth out of this life. So we trust that every one of us will be ready, regardless what time it is or when it happens and what happens. All right, Hebrews 11th chapter. If you'd like to turn with me, book of Hebrews 11th chapter, and let's read the 23rd to the 26th verse. And we'd like to pick back up on a little subject we was on Thursday evening and talk about a little bit about fanaticism. And because we are accused of being fanatical, but we just want to see what the Word has to say about it. Now, we know that when the world calls us fanatics, that doesn't necessarily mean that God thinks we're fanatic, you see. All right? But fanaticism is when you go on beyond the Word of God and do what you shouldn't do. You know, like a brother was telling me the other night, a minister trying to present to the people that they shouldn't take any medication no more. You know, and different things like that. That's fanaticism, you see. It's just in, like, the minister good long while back said men shouldn't wear white shirts and all this. That's fanaticism, you know. It's craziness. It's the devil is what it is. So we want to make sure we can be assured that we're not in fanaticism. Amen. Hebrews 11 chapter, let's begin to read here. By faith, 23rd verse, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. May God bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Now, if we could just kind of go into that a little bit before we read something the prophet said, you know, you've got to kind of think now where Moses was at when he did this. Here he was, very high in the kingdom, you know, and am I looked up to and respected and dressed well and had everything at his fingertips, everything he wanted. But when he began to see that was God's children down there stomping that mud, and then he went down, he walked away from all that glamour, nice stuff, what people thought about him, the respect he was getting. He walked away from all that to get down there with the prophet used the word mud daubers. My. You could imagine what people would have thought. And as the prophet mentioned, People thought he was fanatic. As we read some of the things Thursday night, the prophet said, these men that people thought they was fanatic. You know, they thought, he mentioned one of them, Jeremiah, the prophet. They thought he was fanatic. And they throwed fruit at him. And they thought John the Baptist was fanatic. They thought Elijah was fanatic. They thought old Noah was fanatic. You know, his situation he was placed in. And building that boat, you know. And people mocking him, scoffing him, making fun of him. Oh, you crazy old man, you know. And they thought our Lord Jesus Christ was fanatic, you know. Now, we wouldn't know those things if the prophet wouldn't have brought our attention to it and let us be able to see it, you know. As far as the scripture saying that, and used the word fanatic, that they said he was fanatic, no. But he used things like our Lord Jesus, he said, thou art mad, you know, crazy. And because people in the world can't understand doing what the will of the Father is. They just don't understand it. They don't understand what it's like to have something revealed to you and you just have the desire and the unction is there to do everything God tells you to do. Regardless how many around you are saying it's not so, you don't have to do it this way, that's fanaticism and that's too far and this, that, and the other. You know what God wants. It's like Brother Branham, again, we said, mentioned Thursday night what Brother Branham said about the pen when the Holy Spirit told him to pick up a pen and write. The little bride knows exactly what God wants done with the Word, you know. Nobody else will, but the bride does. They know what God wants. Now, that puts them in a position that many of the men that was called fanatics was put in because nobody else understood it. Nobody else could figure it out. They thought it was craziness to go that far with it. And it's like people thinking in this message, you go too far, maybe the way you dress, or maybe how important you think it is to be at service, or whatever these things may be. Or maybe separating from unbelief. You know, they may think you're crazy, or you're nuts, and the prophet didn't say that, and he didn't say this. Well, he did, but they just can't see it. You see, it's not given to them to know. And there was things done purposely and said purposely, as the prophet said in the unveiling of God, that, you know, our Lord Jesus spoke purposely to cause them to go out and to leave, you know, to ponder over. They couldn't figure it out. But only the little bride will have it revealed to her. And thinking of these things, I want to read something the prophet said here. He said here, the scripture for this is found, if you want to look it up after I get through. He said, Hebrews 11, chapter 23rd, and we'll read it again as he read it. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to suffer the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ. And notice what he's going to be saying there. Esteeming the reproach for Christ. Way back in Moses' time, it was still Christ. He is the only one who has eternal life. Esteeming the reproach to be called a fanatic. Don't you think he would have been? Leave that nice, glamorous living, everything handed to him, and get down there with these children of Israel and stomp mud. How crazy can you look to people? Fanatic. Crazy. But that was the word that Moses was faced with. We're faced with word. All the word. Not just parts, but we are faced with all the Word. As the Scripture says, and Brother Branham said many times, quoted it, what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we're faced with all the Word, not parts. Not what we want to accept and leave this out, or accept this and leave that one out, but we are faced with all the Word. Okay? esteeming the reproach to be called a fanatic. My, a holy roller or something like that, you know. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense and reward. Now, you, friends, you don't put in your mind and don't even let Satan put it in your mind. Well, I'm up here speaking today and reading these things. Well, I must be a fanatic. I have to be a fanatic. No, friends. No. Then you are one. If you live by every word, you will be a fanatic to the world. Just all, it just happens. You'll be a fanatic to the world. You don't have to worry about trying to be one. No, you don't want to be one. No. But that's what you're going to be if you live by every word. Because there's such a minority that truly knows what you will know. What God reveals to you will be such few. And to the rest, you're crazy. You'll be going too far. It's too much. And then we must be careful we don't take anything in the world or the word, and by misunderstanding, or where Satan placing some kind of misinterpretation through maybe a thought he can put on our mind, or maybe some preacher got up and preached on, and misinterpret the word and make it fanaticism. Yeah. Or by not doing it, fanaticism. We'll talk about it a little more here in a little bit. So here we find Moses. He, the prophet said, he's seen this place of his position of what he was to do to deliver the children of Israel. And regardless of what he was placed in and what people thought. Now, don't you think people didn't think things back then just like they do now? They sure did. They were human beings. Don't you think they would have thought he was crazy? Don't you? Is it any different they'd think you was crazy if maybe you done something and stayed with the word 100%, but they didn't see it that way, and they thought you're going beyond. They said you're going beyond. But what does the word say? They say you're going beyond because they can't see it. You see? But remember, somebody has to be right. Remember, God won't judge the church by the Methodist church, the Catholic church, Pentecostal church, no organization, though. And I'll put this there. I know he won't judge it by no message church. He will judge it by the word of God. You see? Because there's very few message churches, and I'm trusting God will not let us stray to the right or left, because it'll be the most deceitful age it ever was. And people can get to thinking they're so right and this, that, and the other because some preacher got up there and spoke about it, and they just are so gullible. And I remember a time like that, friend. I was so gullible, I'd just accept whatever the preacher said. I was stupid. I was ignorant. Yeah. I'd just accept everything instead of really searching the word. But one time I had to be sent down to Arabia, and things changed. And searched the word and found out there's things a lot different than just taking a man for everything he says. Regardless how right it may seem to be, you can't do it. It has to line up with that word 100%. If it don't line up with the word 100%, it ain't God. You see? All right? Now, the prophet said in Influence, August 3rd, 1963, paragraph 177. And I said, now reverently, I'm sure you know me well enough, or I hope you do, that I'm not fanatic, the prophet said. He said, if I am, I don't know it. And I read one there the other night about the same way, but this is a little different way he says it. He said, and I don't believe God honors fanatics. So now there's something here about, I trust by the time I get done today, you'll see. You'll see where the prophet brings out these places of fanaticism that is wrong. And you see him bring out these places that, short of the world, you're going to look fanatic. Yeah. But you'll stay with the word. Yeah. So, where are we as individuals? I'm not even going to say as a group, because one of you could sit there and think this certain thing about a word because maybe a pastor 10 years ago told you. And you could maybe be hanging on to that instead of what that word says. And you may be taking it too far. Or you may not be taking it far enough. It's more of a problem this day. I know men say that this is, you know, a lot of fanaticism this day, but I'm going to tell you what. There needs to be friends, people that stay by every word. And to everybody else, it'll seem like a lot of fanaticism. You see? Amen. I'm kind of like Brother Branham in one way. I'd rather see it that way than the other way. People that profess and be hypocrites and don't have nothing. He's talking about one time he said the, you know, clergy put on this new backward collar and this, that, and the other, you know, and a certain way they dress and they go out and they preach and everything. He said, I'd rather see that, though. He said, and see these naked women out here on the street. Yeah. And he was calling it fanaticism. Men dressing like that in their clergy suits and all that. Yeah. Oh, my. Priesthood seats or suits and all this stuff they wear and robes and all that. He said, I'd rather see that than a woman walking naked down the street. Yeah. You think you have to worry about people today being fanatic? I'll tell you what, it's not the problem people think it is. Yeah. You'll understand it in a little bit. We've got it in our mind it is. But people don't go far enough, friends, in this day. There's too much adding to and taking away. Yeah. Modern events made clear by prophecy, December 6, 1965, paragraph 190. He said, the churches won't have me. This is when, later in his ministry, 1965, and he was being invited less and less because the word was coming out stiffer and harder and hotter and all that. So it wasn't the invitations he used to get, you know. But he said, the churches won't have me. They don't want me. No, that's right. They turn me now and they say he's a Jesus only, or he's something like that, or some heretic or fanatic and all like that. A Beelzebub. They call him all those bad names. Talking about the Lord Jesus. They called him all those bad things. Yeah. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call them his disciples? You know? Now, actually, I would be worried if people didn't think I was fanatic. Yeah. Because I'd be fitting in with their sin. But by not fitting in with their sin, you're deemed fanatical. You see? Now you got to understand what I'm saying, because I'm not promoting fanaticism whatsoever. If you're a bride, you understand what's being read today. Otherwise, you'll be, it will be one of the things you just ponder over it and destroy yourself. Yeah. Because you can't figure it out. But one thing about it, when it's revealed and it's a it'll be vindicated if it's been revealed, friends. And it'll come out the word every time. Amen. So just leave every idea out and just listen to what the word said. Okay? Don't you think about what ideas or anything. I'm not going to give you ideas. I just want you to read the word, listen to the word, and I want you to think what we're reading. Amen. And not just pass over it. Okay? But like I say, there's a reason why they're condemning the bride of being fanatic. Yeah. You say, well, you're awful confident your bride. By God's grace, I know I'm one of them. If I didn't, friend, I'd be crying out on my knees. Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I need this. I need this. You see? Power of transformation. We'll read a few short ones here first. And paragraph 300, October 31st, 1965. And whatever Christ was, I am. That's what it's supposed to be, is it not? Okay. Whatever Christ was, I am. What he is, I am. Oh God, he says, if he is considered a fanatic, so must I be. Now, so, okay, now do I go out and strive to be fanatical? No. By no means. But if Christ lives in you, you'll be fanatical to the world. And the devil will call you fanatic. Hear what I said? And the devil will call you fanatic. The Holy Ghost won't call you fanatic. Not if it's the Holy Ghost living in you. And the Holy Ghost in control. The Holy Ghost having the preeminence of your life. No. It won't call you fanatic. The world will. Yeah. If he was Beelzebub by his works of his spirit, I am too. Notice that. Whatever he was, I am. Whatever he was, he says now, you are. So would I be worried if I wasn't known as being fanatic? Yes, I'd be worried. Because people will call you fanatic and don't even understand what they're saying. They don't have a clue. Because they don't understand the word. And because you don't do like they do, live slack and slowful and maybe dress, trying to be sexy in a dress and all this nonsense going on, they think you're fanatic. No. But the little bride just has the understanding, he that looketh upon a woman, lust after her, has committed adultery and already with her in his heart. It's just plain, simple reality. Yeah. Never in a day would you catch a woman filled with the Holy Ghost to do that. Try to draw a man's attention with her body. No way. She needs the Holy Ghost. You see. Remember Brother Brandon speaking about them natives out there? Africans and so forth. And not even be dressed. And when the Holy Ghost began to come down, they begin to try to cut themselves. Yeah. The Holy Ghost will do that. But they've got that all twisted around today, and they've got better ideas to try to keep more people in the church so they can pay for a higher dollar building and nicer stuff. And it's sin. And knoweth it not, August 15, 1965. Now listen to what the prophet says here. Did you say he was a healer? Now this is back when he's talking about when the time when Hope had passed away and Sharon Rose was getting ready to pass and so forth, and the devil came to him. You remember the little story? We'll read it so you kind of catch it here. He said, did you say he was a healer? He's talking about Satan talking to him in his mind now and trying to present how wicked he was, you know, how wrong he was. Well, why did your father die in your arms over there and calling him a sinner and calling his, and he says, and calling for his life? Why did your brother die in the other brother's arms out there? He said, and you stand in the pulpit preaching a few weeks ago, said, then why didn't he answer you? You said he loved you and saved you. He couldn't tell me there was no God. No, because I already seen him. But he was telling me he didn't care for me. You hear Satan was trying to tell Brother Branham that God didn't care for him. Okay? Said, there lays your wife, your babies. He said, your baby will be there pretty soon. Your daddy is buried. Your brother is buried. And your wife is going to be buried now, tomorrow. And here, the other baby dying. He's a good God, he says. Satan says to him, he's a good God. He's a healer. Said, you've made a sap out of yourself. It's kind of like the way he'd like us to feel. You've made a sap out of yourself. You fanatic. Look, no churches want to fellowship with you. The ministers don't even call you no more. They want nothing to do with you. You've made a sap out of yourself. Thank God I'm a sap. One day you'll see. What did it do? From it working from the outside now to the first man. Said, now look, you know when you was a few years, he said, it was a few years ago, or two or three years ago, before you accepted this, you was well thought of amongst the people. You lived a good, clean life. Now notice what he said. Oh, you was well thought of the people. Yeah. Clean life. And he says, any girl in the city that wanted to go out with you because they felt clean and decent. I could stand before any of them. I never insulted one, never said anything. If she even acted smart, I'd take her home. That's what needs to be more done today. You know, when young men take a lady out. And you were liked amongst the people. What? You were liked amongst the people? Ain't that something? You're always liked amongst the people if you fit in with their crowd. Yeah. A religious fanatic, Satan's telling him. A religious fanatic. That's right, I was. There's things begin to move together, the outside reasoning and the spirit and moving these things together. That's right, Satan. And did you say he was a healer? Yes, he answered back. And you begging and crying to people and telling you it wasn't so, that you're off the line and your own church turned you out for this? Your own Baptist church down there puts you out the door for the very same cause? Your daddy buried, your brother buried, your wife lying there to be buried. Here's your baby just about 15 minutes longer and it'll be gone. And he's a healer? Your own flesh and blood? One word from him and would save the baby's life? He's a healer, you said? The people tried to tell you, see? The preacher told you you was all messed up. You was all insane. They told Lord Jesus he was mad. Crazy. Yeah. You was becoming a religious fanatic. And friends, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more fanatical you looked to this world church. And a lot of people following this message. You look fanatical. And you said he loved you. Could he love you? All that. And how you cried for your daddy, how night after night you fasted and in the daytime and you'd have to pray and get up a pole to work. And when he says, and he'd let him die in your arms, a sinner? Oh my. How your wife, what a fine woman she was, how you loved her, Billy's mother. Many of you remember Hope. What a fine girl she was, how happy you was, your little home over there with about $7 or $8 worth of furniture. And he says, but yet you loved her, and you loved one another, and you went and prayed for others and some mental emotion, with some mental emotions. And he said, they got up and walked away and said, it's all right now. But now your own wife, there she is dead, second day now, lying in the undertaker's establishment down yonder. Scott comes, and he's a healer. And your little boy at the point of death, now I want you to pay attention, the accusing that's going on from Satan. Okay? Billy Paul, 18 months old, and your little girl, 8 months old, lying there dying, meningitis, and you just prayed, and God pulled a sheet down and said, shut up. Don't hear you. Won't hear you at all. Turned his back on you. He's a good God. He loves you. No. And every girl you ever went, every boy you ever was associated with, your very best friends, has walked away from you as a religious fanatic? Now listen to that. Everything he was telling me was truth. Everything that it would say just fell right in line. I was just then about ready to say, then that's the way he wants to act, then I won't serve him. Just about had him convinced. Yeah. I think, how easy people are convinced today when they hear some mud mouth begin to talk about, oh, them people's fanatic. They won't go to movies. They won't do this. They don't believe in blue jean skirts with pockets and zippers. Such nonsense. Fanaticism. They don't believe associating with preachers when they were taken and added to the word, and they know they're taken away and added to. They don't think they should associate with them no more. Fanatics! Same devil. It ain't a different one. It's the same devil. I wish I had time to go through all these today so it could be tied in together for you. And then, of course, he goes on to say, everything he was telling me I believed was truth, and everything that would say would just fell right in line, seemed to, you know. And just as I said, there was something came from somewhere else, way down inside, and said, who are you to begin with? The Lord gave, the Lord taken away. See, that's the inside man. Don't reason at all. I looked back and I thought, how did I get on earth? I come from a bunch of drunkards. How did I get here? Who give me life? Who give me that wife? Who give me that baby? Where did my wife come from? Where did my life come from? I said, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. He said, Satan, get away from me. You see? Now, this should show you a little something how Satan accuses. It's his desire to stumble you somehow, to turn you away from truth, turn you away from being a real consecrated, dedicated son or daughter of God. That will amen every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not only amen, but vindicate. Anything he can do to distract you. It's just a shame some so weak that they can't take it, that they begin to get turned off because this person knows, oh, if anybody knows, this person knows that they're a fanatic. If anybody knows, this person knows. And that man may not have nothing. Yeah. Again, what did the word say? Are we serving a man or are we serving God? Amen. That's the whole thing, friends. Are we serving a past man? That man that maybe taught me for 20, 30 years, am I serving him? By no means. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He was wrong on a lot of things. Yeah. Of course, that time I couldn't see it. But now I can see it. You see? If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd continue to have been blind. You see? But God's mercy and grace. You see? Look away to Jesus. December 29th, 1963. Now listen to what he's going to say about this unbeliever. The unbeliever seen in the days of Noah, only what did the unbelief look like? That's all he's seen. I've told you what the believer saw. Let's see what the unbeliever sees. In the days of Noah, what did the unbeliever see? See, back there, when they looked, they saw a fanatic. The unbeliever did. Who was right on the word? Noah was. Is that right?
Amen.
Absolutely. What did the unbeliever see? Fanaticism. Blundering around, so-called, in a boat. That's all they saw. Some crazy old man with long white whiskers that had lost his mind, and against scientific research and proof. Today it's against a lot of these other message preachers. If you're against them, you're out of their clique. I'm way out of their clique. Yeah. Against scientific research and proof, said, there's water up there. Why, the poor old fellow, they felt so sorry for him and passing by. He'll be declared insane soon. He's lost his mind. Yeah. But he had the word of the Lord. So do you. That prophet brought that word of the Lord. And scripture is right there too. Yes, we have the word of the Lord. We can't help if people don't understand it. But they that don't understand it, you be called fanatics by them. You see? He says, poor old fellow, see, they felt so sorry for him. But he had the word of the Lord. He was building away on it, and God was showing evidence that the flood was coming. It was a sign to them. Them who did not believe Noah's story wandered on into darkness. Yes. And ended up in death, in the water, and a grave of hell. Pharaoh, he looked one time. What did he see? He seen a fanatic. He's showing us what the unbeliever sees with the true believer, one that has the Holy Ghost. They see a fanatic. He's seen a fanatic, so-called prophet, with many so-called claims of deliverance. That's all they saw was a mud dauber, a slave standing up amongst the people and saying himself he was sent of God to perform miracles. Why, they thought the fellow had lost his mind. Go let him rave on. They'll declare him insane after a while. But he had, thus saith the Lord. That's what makes the difference. And guess what? The prophet said in the church age book, we've got thus saith the Lord, or we keep still. Yes. The believers, Aaron, Joshua, many of them, seen God in Moses. Oh my. Years ago, friends, Brother Branham was just having a bad night when he said about television blasting out with a shotgun, you know. It's okay. You just got to control what you watch. You know? But the little bride seen something different. She didn't have to blast it out, but she just got rid of it. Yeah. I wouldn't have said anything bad about somebody did. They wanted to take it out and blast it with a shotgun. Been fine. Yeah. Say, oh, bless you. Now that's fanaticism. Is it really? Is it really? Maybe he likes target shooting. That'd been fun, something fun to shoot. Yeah. It's a fanaticism because we think it is. Now pay attention. I'll read some things. What's our bird brain think? And what does the word say? Now let's go on. Be not afraid. June 7, 1963. Now, sometimes we have to be careful, friends, because I've even said things over the pulpit. It isn't all about emotion and this, that, and the other. But do I throw emotion out if it's true to the Holy Spirit? No, by no means. Okay? He said, I can prove anything that hasn't got emotion in it is dead. So if your religion ain't got a little emotion in it, you better bury it and get something. He said you have to have emotion to live. He's not talking about putting on emotion. I'm going to read you something because maybe we don't understand this like we should. And maybe the way I've said things in the past, you know. But there's so much fake and put on. There's so much of this thing of beating drums and wanging guitars there until people get their body shaking, you know. Now look out. Now look out. But what if the Holy Ghost moves? You just going to sit there? Huh? And if somebody moves into the Holy Ghost, are we going to condemn them because they moved by the Holy Ghost? Let's read the truth on this. Now remember, friends, when we talk about emotion, you can go both ways with this. I made little notes here. You can call someone fanatic that's under the genuine Holy Spirit falling on them. I can call it, it's emotion. We see emotion come down on them. Now if I say that's fanaticism, that's genuine, where do I stand before God? Call anything his that he does unclean, evil, wrong, wicked. And if it's him. Well, in this age, we don't do none of that. Is that right? Where did you get that at? Let's see what the word says. Okay? But remember, it's like Brother Smith said when he was here, stand right in the middle with it, you see? Yeah. Does it do away with it? No. The Holy Ghost may want to do something, fall on somebody. What are you going to do? Sit there and condemn them because the Holy Ghost fell on them and they shouted? We've almost come to a point where there's no shouting anymore because we're afraid to shout. What's wrong? You've lost something. Really have lost something because of fanatical thinking. See? Let's go on. He says here, God hiding himself in simplicity. April 12, 1963. I'm reading everything after seals too. So don't think it's something the Holy Ghost changed that the prophet said before and changed now. No, this is after the seals, friend. Okay. He says, not scolding you, but through godly respects and love. That's right. Get away from such a thing as that. Come back to God and his Bible. Come back to the gospel truth. Yeah. And let some organization wrap you away from the things of God. Don't you never do that. You come back to God's simple way. just fall on your knees. And he's talking about getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost here for a moment. He said, just fall on your knees and say, Lord, I don't care what or how you give it to me, but I'm here for it. Watch what happens, he says. He said, be sincere about it. He said, he's more anxious to give it to you than you are to receive it. Ain't that the truth in this day? Yeah. You don't have to tarry and tarry and tarry. There's no such thing. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard it. Right. The trouble of it is we don't want it enough. That's the problem. We don't want it enough. Where he says, we don't want to humble ourselves. That's right. He said, I was preaching not long ago, and there was a lady got real happy. Oh, wait a minute. We ain't supposed to do that. We ain't supposed to get happy now. Don't you do that. Tell, be careful. You'll be fanatic. Well, let's see what the prophet said. She got real happy, and she got shouting. Wow. There was a boy that plays baseball in the city. I read one kind of like this here the other day. But this one, he goes in further with it. There was a boy that plays baseball in the city. Said, Billy, I was standing on the outside and I couldn't get in. He said, I was enjoying your message till that woman started crying and going on like that. He said, all them people then started screaming and carrying on. He said, that just run cold chills over my back, he told Brother Branham. Oh, I said, you didn't believe that? He said, no. I said, if they didn't do it, it would run cold chills over my back. If they didn't do it, it would run cold chills over my back. What's the difference here now? Oh, there's another place where he told the deacons. Somebody through fanaticism gets carrying on saying doing things, get up and stop it. What's the difference? The Holy Ghost. And the only way you can cipher the right and wrong is with the Holy Ghost yourself in there. Christ being in you. Without the Holy Ghost, that's fanaticism. Of course, preachers want to blast it today. Fanaticism, fanaticism, fanaticism. And they don't even know what it is, friend. Without the Holy Ghost, they don't know what it is. And there's a lot of preachers in this message that have no more Holy Ghost than that light bulb on the ceiling does. You can see it, friends. And they'll sit there, and they may preach like an angel. Hogwash, so what? That don't mean nothing. No way. You see men preaching like angels all the time in this message, and look at their daughters, how they dress. Look at their wife, how they dress. Look at their home life. But outpreach me 10-1, friends. I don't care if anybody outpreaches me. I'm here to tell you the truth, regardless of what I sound like, as long as it's the word, friends. I said, if they don't do it, it would run chills over my back. I said, wouldn't know where I was talking or what I was talking about. And he was a baseball fan now. He said, well, who in the world ever heard such a thing as that? It belonged to the same organization church that I came out of. He came out of the Baptist. Well, now, your message was all right, what you was talking about, but who could hear you? Oh, no, wait a minute, who could hear you? Now, you know times where Brother Bram talked about too much noise going on, and deacons get up and take care of it, you know, don't disturb while the ministering of the word's going on, right? Y'all remember that reading those things? Okay. I said, it wasn't about to hear. It wasn't about being able to hear then. Ah. The Holy Ghost was there, and he done took over. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we've got our mindset, this is the way it is, or it's fanaticism. Now, it's fanaticism. You try to get yourself and get in inflation and do something like that. And it ain't Christ. It's not the Holy Ghost. See, I said, time for me to shut up. See, when he comes. The prophet said that? It's time for me to shut up when he comes. Oh, my. He said he got amongst the people then. He said, oh, Billy, he said, you're just a fanatic, that's all. I said, well, maybe I am. I said, if I am, I'm one of the happiest fanatics I've ever seen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, well, I want to tell you. He says, and then I got to talking to him. I said, say. And the baseball park is not from the house. I said, what in the world was taking place over there the other night? He said, you ought to have seen it. He got all excited, you know, Brother Bram says. You know, Charles Nolan, I say, three men on base, and he just got all excited. I said, well, you bunch of unholy rollers. I never heard such a noise in my life. I said, if I'd have been there, I would have said, he said, I wouldn't have said much about it. I just stood and looked. He said, you don't care much about baseball? I said, certainly not. I said, I don't care for baseball. Therefore, I'm not interested in it. I said, if I'd been interested in it, I'd have been acting the same way you do. And if you was interested in my God and the coming of the Lord Jesus and the power of God, you would act the same way when the Holy Ghost strikes in a building. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Depends on what kind of a spirit's in you, he said. Amen. Do you have the Holy Ghost or no Holy Ghost? You see? It's what you're feeding on. Your life is feeding on something. And I said, don't be a vulture eating dead carcasses of old carrion on the earth. Feed on heavenly things, the word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He said, feed on that word, you see. But now are we just going to put in our mind, if the Holy Ghost would fall some night and people just begin to cry and raise their hands and just stand there praising God. Wow, these people's crazy. That church in Logan, they was right. That's why they don't believe in doing this and believe in doing that. They're like a bunch of deadbeats. They can't do nothing in this life. Oh, I'm doing all I want to do. I'm serving my Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. I'll have to hurry up. Revelation 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast saying, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The hurt, the meaning of it says, do it no wrong. Now remember, the oil, Brother Bram said, was the type of the Holy Ghost. The wine was stimulation and revelation. Is that right? Third seal we talked about. This is what hurt is. Do it no wrong. Don't take it wrong. Don't offend it. And it says, to do wrong in some respect, to hurt or damage or to harm. You damage it, hurt it, do anything to hurt that Holy Ghost or a stimulation of revelation. Now let's read what the prophet said, third seal. Notice, this was March 20th, 1963, paragraph 303, I'll begin. Here's the good part now. See thou hurt not the wine and oil. Just a little bit left, brother. Don't you touch it. Now, oil symbolizes the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a few verses if you want to, a few scriptures in Leviticus 8:12, where Aaron, before he went in, had to be anointed with oil, you know, and Zechariah 4:12 of oil coming, pouring through the pipes and said, this is my Spirit, oil, another thing. If you want to see Matthew 14:25, there was a foolish virgin, 25:3, the foolish virgin had no oil, no Spirit. And Matthew 25:4, the wise virgin had oil in her lamps, Spirit-filled. Oil typifies Spirit. Oh, glory, says you get it? All right. I was listening to this on the recording this morning early, and wow, stimulation struck me this morning as I was listening to this. I thought, my. Now oil typifies Spirit, and wine symbolizes stimulation of revelation. He said, I'd like to run all over the place, he said, when I seen that. Oh my. It's a wonder I didn't wake up the neighborhood when the Lord showed me that. Stimulation of revelation, oil and wine in the Bible associated together always. And that's what he said. Associated together always. What's going to make the difference? The Holy Ghost. That's what makes it real. That's what makes it genuine. That's what makes it not put on. That's not what makes it just carnal emotions. No. That's what makes it real. You see? It's all associated together. I got the concordance and looked it up. There's a string of them like that. He said, where wine and oil goes together all the time. When the truth of a promised word of God has been truly revealed to his saints, that's filled with oil. Got the Holy Ghost, friends. Yeah. They all get stimulated. Now we can stop right there, but I ain't going to. I want the devil to know I know the truth.
Amen.
Yeah. They all get stimulated. Wine is stimulation. Glory, he said, I feel it right now. About the time I heard that on it, it struck me. Amen. I felt like that recliner was a vibrating. Amen. He said, it's stimulated with joy and it shouts. Oh my, we're afraid to shout anymore. We think it's fanaticism. Because the devil's convinced us it's fanaticism. If it's genuine by the Holy Ghost, friends, shout it. But people's afraid to anymore. Yeah. Afraid to be called fanatics. I would rather be known a fanatic. As long as I knew it was by the word. I'd rather be known as a fanatic than sit there like a bump on the log and not have nothing. As long as it's real, as long as it's genuine, Holy Ghost filled. You say, oh, Brother Steve, I just don't believe in being like that. Well, friends, us preachers would be in bad shape if we couldn't shout when we was preaching and couldn't get a little excited. What's wrong with a lady being a little bit excited in the seat there, you know? Is it fanaticism? But Satan's convincing you it is. He's convincing you, oh, none of that, no emotion. Like the prophet said, if you ain't got no emotion, you better get some other religion, friends. You better bury that one and get some real, genuine emotion. And I'm by no means in trying to tell you and make you get emotional, friends. I have nothing in my heart to get you there. If it ain't real from the inside, stay away from it. But you pray. You better be praying and God give you something that stirs a little something. And when you get a revelation of word, it's glory, hallelujah. Amen. My. He says, wine is stimulation. Glory. I feel it right now, stimulated with joy. And it shouts, he said. And when it does, it has the same effect upon them that wine does on a natural man. Because when the revelation has been given of a truth of God, and the true believer filled with Holy Ghost, he says, oil. And the revelation is revealed, the stimulation becomes so great that it makes him behave himself unnormally. That's right, glory. Now, friends, I've seen people under that preaching of the Word of God, and the tares shout just as much as the genuine does. Oh. But if I have something that strikes my heart and something just bubbling inside and I shout, is that going to make me stop because the prophet said that? And the scripture says it? No. Again, are we living by a man's idea or the Holy Ghost? You see? Oh my. He says, and the revelation is revealed, the stimulation becomes so great that it makes him behave himself abnormally. That's right, glory. Maybe that's what's the matter with them now. At that time while I was listening to this, they was, hallelujah, glory to God. They was seeing something. You see? He said, maybe that's what's the matter with them now. That's right. It makes them behave their self unseemly. Wow. But did we do away with it? Because we don't understand. Do we call them fanatics? So yeah, but Brother Steve, that might be the tares. So be it. The scripture says it's going to happen. But that shouldn't stop the genuine. Hallelujah. Oh my. I think, well, though people will think I'm a tare. What makes a difference what people think about you, friend? Live by Christ, the Holy Ghost, in your life. And if it's a genuine Holy Ghost, it'll not let you do anything that's wrong. No. Like you've seen times when the Holy Ghost moving in the midst of people and then people get in the flesh and you see women spinning around their dress ends up clear around their head. No. A genuine Holy Ghost will do this like it's done in the past. It'll maybe spin around and that dress will stay down all the time, and if they fall, it'll still be down where it belongs. Yeah. The genuine Holy Ghost on a genuine Holy Spirit-filled person. Yeah. Oh, my. He said, now, if you want scripture for this, just start reading Acts 2. It was only the third hour of the day, and they thought they was drunk. Oh? But we don't want none of that. It's too unseemly. It's, no, that's not for today. Because some preacher with a muddy mouth has said, it's none of it today. Friends, I've got to stand on truth. If they call you fanatics, let them call you fanatics. I can read you a lot more sheet where it's the devil who calls you fanatic when you're in the Word and stay with the Word. It ain't your brother. No. It ain't your brother. No. We call everybody brother. Oh, brother, so-and-so. Brother this, brother that. No. I'm really careful who I call my brother. I'll say pastor so-and-so or teacher so-and-so or this man over there. But friends, I'd be very careful who's my brother. Yeah. Because not everybody's my brother when they add to and take away. That's not my brother. Mm-mm. By no means. He said, you start reading Acts 2. What did they have? They had the promise they had been given him. See, when all the promise of the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, it was scripturally vindicated. See, what if they'd said, now wait. He told us to wait up here for our ministry. And after 8 days, they said, well, I'll tell you, boys, Mark said already, I've already got it. Why are we waiting on our ministry? Now we ought to just go on out preaching. See, just do it. He told us to come up here and wait. And this is 8 days we've been here. Well, let's just wait another one, they said. 9 days come, then Mark comes around, maybe one of the rest of them. John said, I believe we ought to wait. I believe we oughtn't to wait any longer. I believe we've already got it, don't you? And I can see old Simon. It kind of sounds like people today. Oh, I got it. And it ain't got more got it than anything. I can see old Simon because he had the keys, you know. Now, wait a minute, boys. The Scripture's got something to say about this. He never told us just how many days to wait. He said, you stay here until. You stay there until Joel's prophecy comes to pass, until Isaiah's prophecy is vindicated. For with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people, and this is the refreshment. This is the wine that's poured out. What is wine in the Bible? Refreshment. This is the refreshment that comes from the presence of the Lord. It's got to be scriptural now. Oh, that's the big thing right there. It's got to be scriptural. So you see, wine represents stimulation of revelation. And when the Holy Ghost fell, and they seen the fire of God fall upon them, my, that began to stimulate them. And the first thing you know, they got so stimulated until people actually thought they were drunk. But it was stimulation by revelation. Oh, my. Let me read one more thing before we close. Church order. Why don't you sisters come on up, please, if you will. This is church order, December 26, 1963. Now, kind of sounds a little different what he's going to say here. Like I say, I've got more to read, but we'll just quit for tonight or this morning. Now, he says, paragraph 55, if there is any better way to keep order in the church than to keep reminding the people with a repeat from the deacons accordingly. Now, that I just explained that, he said, that's question number 3. The deacons, your duty is to keep order in the church with kindness and friendliness. And then you're supposed to, if someone gets out of order in the church, comes in here like drunk or somebody come in, like they shot that minister out of the platform the other night up there. You heard about that, the drunk coming in with a double-barrel shotgun. He screamed for his wife and wanted his wife and went up towards the pastor. The pastor showed him his wife sitting there, but he was going to shoot her right in the church, and the pastor started dealing with him. Instead, he said the man shot and turned around, shot the pastor in the pulpit, and then shot his wife, then shot himself. Now, if there had been a bunch of deacons there when that man entered that door with that shotgun, they'd have had his arms around him, or their arms around him, and shotgun out of his hand. See, that's orderly deacons. And now, these things have gone the way they're doing now, he said, that you might just expect anything, the way things are going. But remember, the deacons are God's policemen in the house of God, no matter what anybody else thinks. Let me go on down here now. That's the duty of a deacon to the church. And if someone jumps up and starts interrupting the pastor or something other like that, and the pastor in his message, and the deacon's supposed to walk up to them people, two or three of them, and say, Could I speak to you? Could we speak to you, little brother? And bring him from the church out in the office or out here some other office and speak to him about it and say, you're not to interrupt. It's a great fine, the law, to interrupt a service anyhow. But some people with such delinquent person or something come among you. He said, and some religious fanatic. Yeah, I may have seen him like that. Yeah, I have, yeah. No more or anything to back up anything of Christ in their life than anything. But oh, they can sure tell you this, and they can tell you that, and they can act like they're really spiritual, this, that, and the other, you know. They think they've got to stop the service and do their little thing. Yeah. And you know what the prophet said about speaking in tongues and the congregation, all that. Not to be done. Go off by yourself. All right. He says here, but some people, such a delinquent person or something, come among you, you know, and some religious fanatic, and start carrying on, then the deacons. If the deacons don't seem to be able to control it, then the trustee board or anyone else in the church can step up and give him or help to such person. You know that. You mean stop that? Some religious fanatic? Come in and start. Well, if he come in here and just start saying, brother, I want to say something there. The Lord revealed to me this is this, that, and the other. And stops the ministry from preaching the word of God and stops him. And then he might sit there, hallelujah, glory to God. You think that's God? No. You'll be able to tell what the presence of God is doing, friends. Yeah. Yeah. So it ain't just anything that comes along, friend. No. Fanaticism. Yeah. And there's people still out there like that today. Yeah. We've had them here before like that. At least had the audacity to wait and go outside and then start carrying on, you know. We had to push him along his little route home, you know. Friends, the devil will try to do all he can. But there is so much on this. And friends, if you have the Holy Ghost, it'll make it come out right every time. But don't never get in your mind that the Holy Ghost can't move. Friends, what if the Holy Ghost began to move on one of these young sisters here? And come here and begin to cry, just holler and crying out. Huh? And you just watch the Holy Ghost move around all the people. Maybe I just got done, maybe just finishing a message or something. Maybe not even quite done yet. And the Holy Ghost just come in and move like that. Have you ever felt come in and move like that? You just feel right, come on right on in like that. And you know, oh, it's time to shut up. Let the Holy Ghost have his way. You see? Now we're going to sit there in my chair. This is fanaticism. This ain't right. Go ahead. Blaspheme that Holy Ghost. You better be careful. Yeah. Sometimes people think they know so much, friends, and they know so little. You know, it's a shame. And it's more and more in this message than ever was, because we all sit here and we all come here and listen to the message every time. And you got all these people gathering in message churches, and they keep listening to the word, and they keep listening to this. And when the Holy Ghost ain't in them, they just begin to think, I'm this, and I'm that, and oh my, such self-righteous attitudes. You know, they just need a good old Holy Ghost filling, friends. Yeah, they do. Something that's real, something that's genuine. So, friend, don't think, I'm going to think a bad thing about you, friend. If the genuine Holy Ghost comes down on you, and you just raise your hand and begin to cry, and maybe just stand up and just begin to cry and sob. Hallelujah. Oh, my. May the Holy Ghost fall on me and I'll do the same thing. Amen. Hallelujah. He's real, friends. Why cut yourself short of the great, wonderful things God has for you by misunderstanding? But some people think it's just no emotion, no emotion. There shouldn't be none whatsoever. Go ahead, be a deadbeat. But friends, I want to be alive in Christ. And when I hear something the Holy Ghost wants, friends, and compels me to do, and I know it's with that word, I want to yield to it. Hallelujah. I want to be all that He wants me to be. Amen. If He wants to refill me, Lord. Hallelujah. I want Your blessings, Lord. Fill me with Your blessings, oh God. Hallelujah. My. Don't become old starchy because some preacher's told you something. No. No, friends, it's all the Word. We are faced with all the Word, not just parts of it. All the Word. I know there's men that love to just take and push that out of the third seal. And I go, Brother Brown never even said those things. Just forget it. Stimulation, revelation, what such nonsense. Oh, my friends. If he talked about it, making him shout, friends. And if I get the same thing, it ought to make me shout. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. I love him. So thankful for truth. Amen. I don't have to depend on some man's ideas and creeds. I can always go right back to the Word, and it's right there. Hallelujah. Because I'll assure you, saints, the old devil's going to try to use every man he possibly can in this message. Yes. Oh, yeah. Try to deceive them. If he can get them deceived, then he can take and get it to the sheep. Oh, my. And his work is being accomplished. It's no different than it was in the garden, friends. It's exactly what he did to Eve. Did he change? No. He's just had a little more experience. He's more craftier than he ever was. He can go along for a long time and get the people so convinced that this is a man of God. This is a really, really sincere man. He's got the truth, and he can get you all set up and then bang, throw a dart out there. Pierce your heart. Misunderstanding. Something misconstrued to destroy you. And all it takes is one word. One word. But this is not an age, friend, to make a man your God. This is let the Word be your God. Jesus Christ to be your God. Amen. Yes. For in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And this Word is inspired. Yes, it is. It's inspired. Can we hear it? Can we hear these words, inspired words? Oh, my. Saints, it's real. It's genuine. Like Brother Branham said, why accept some of this other stuff and nonsense going on today when the heavens are full of the real and genuine? Maybe you don't want to be blessed, but I always enjoy it when the Holy Spirit blesses me. I was enjoying that this morning sitting in my recliner. Oh, my. It makes me, it's only 6 o'clock. I've got to wait till 11 o'clock to get there, you know. Oh, my. You can't hardly wait because you know it's what God wants. Hallelujah. It'd be a sad thing to know you could sit there and listen to the messages, the prophet, and or read the Bible and never have anything ever, never, ever stimulate you. That'd be a sad thing. Really sad. I'd be a little worried about it's all here. Yeah. Because the wine and the oil always go together. Always. When you got the Holy Ghost, friends, the stimulation will come with that Word. Isn't that what he said? When it's revealed, it'll come. Many, many times, friend, I hear the Word or listen to the Word or read the Word, and I just, you feel like you're going to blow clear up on the inside. It's just, oh, it's so good. It's so right. It's so real, so genuine, you know? Oh, my. You ever had that experience? Amen. Or is it, I'm going to learn this? Yeah, I remember that. I'm going to learn this. Yeah, I'm going to remember that. Learn this and I remember that. No. You can have all the learning you want, friends, but give me revelation of what I've read or listened to. Amen. Oh, I love him. He's so precious. Amen. So don't let it come to you that you're a fanatic. Now, if we get off of the Word, okay, then you can become fanatic. Yes. But if you're staying with that Word, and they call you fanatic, then don't pay attention to it at all. No. And don't be a weakling and accept that nonsense. No. They're out there to destroy you. You realize how many message preachers are out there to destroy you? You don't realize? Just listen to a few of them. Yeah. Just listen to a few of them. They're there to destroy you. And sometimes people are so blind and they can't see it. My. Who else can Satan use? He's not going to use the Catholic priest. You don't go and listen to him. In this most deceitful age it's ever been. He's got to use somebody. Yes. Be careful what you listen to. Amen. Lord willing, I'll speak on that tonight, maybe. And refresh your minds to some of those things. Amen to his precious word. Amen. Now, no amens to what I've said. Only the things I've said that was the word amen to, but not what I've said personally. No. Amen to his word. Let us all stand. Let's sing a little chorus again. We're singing, Brother Josh, and just use the singing, God Still Moves. Amen. God still moves. God still moves. In the heart of his children, God still does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. God still moves. Sing it again, Brother Timothy. Come dismiss us if you would. God still moves. Amen. God still moves in the heart of his children. God still moves.
He does not sleep, nor does he precious Lord, we are so thankful for your precious word. And Lord, as we've said under the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, and just had you speak to our hearts, Lord, may you go down inside, Lord, and teach us greater, Lord, the understanding of the things in which we've heard this morning. Lord, every word must be made real and alive to us. Lord, the importance of every word. Lord, we just humbly ask, Lord, that through your mercy and your grace, that, Lord, you would give us eyes, Sav, Lord, to see. Not to look to the left or to the right, Lord, or, well, so-and-so said and so-and-so said, but, Lord, look into the word. And in humility, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, deal with my heart. Show me, Lord, where I need to enforce it, Lord, or maybe I need to rechange maybe the way I think about something. Lord, that's why we gather into the presence. Lord, and you come and you're so gracious to us. And we appreciate, Lord, each time you take to come and speak to our hearts. And Lord, we just thank you once more for this day. Lord, we pray for those that couldn't be here that you would bless them, Lord, strengthen them. And Lord, just continue to mellow us, Lord, and to let the Holy Spirit do a work in our hearts, Lord, that we would be the sweetest, most humblest people on the face of the earth. That, Lord, that we would truly just be yielded into your hands. Lord, that whatever you want done would be able to be done through our hearts and through our lives. Yes. And, Lord, we'll never fail to thank you for each and everything. Bring us back if you should tarry, Lord, and may we never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Sing it one more time. God still moves. God still moves in the heart of his children. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. richly bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen.